I hope you'll be able to follow the thread of what I'm trying to make in this sermon. I've given it a name. Call it the neglect of the weightier matters of the law. I want to try to identify a few of the things that are holding us back. Things we really need to consider in order to place our focuses in the right place. So I pray God will be with me this morning, that I will say His words, and that if what I say is not His words, that He will take those words from me. I want to start out with Hosea in the 4th chapter, starting with the first verse. It says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel." I hope we're the children of Israel. And here He's talking to us. "For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land." Isn't this land rapidly approaching this condition right now? There is no knowledge, or almost none, it seems, of God in the land. Verse 2 says, "By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of the heaven, and the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away." Let's turn, hold your place here. We're going to come back to this, but I want to turn to the 24th chapter of Isaiah and read a little bit there before I come back. In the 24th chapter, skip around a little bit here. I want to read verse 1, and then I'll read 3 through 6, and then 13 through 16. It says, "Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be as the people, so with the priest, as with a servant, so with his master, as with a maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, and as with the lender, so with the borrower, and with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord has spoken this word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away, the world languisheth and fadeth away, the haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinances, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left." It points out a great destruction here and many other places in the scripture. So I want you to consider these things. Verse 13 says, "When thus it shall be in the midst of the land among the people, there shall be as the shaking of an olive tree, and as the gleaning of grapes when the vintage is done." You notice it said in the midst of the land, and I believe that this, the place of Zion, is here in Independence, and that's the midst of the land. It says, "They shall lift up their voice They shall sing for majesty of the Lord. They shall cry aloud from the sea. Wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord God of Israel in the isles of the sea. From the uttermost part of the earth have we heard songs, even glory to the righteous. But I said, my leanness, woe unto me. The treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. Yea, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. I gave many of you a tape some time back to listen to. I don't know if you believe what was on that tape, or even if you even listened to it. But there are many treacherous dealings in this world today. And I want you to be aware of those things, and I want us to be a part of that place of Zion, that place of safety. But it's going to take some doing. Back in Hosea 4, in verse 4, it says, yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they strive with the priests. Let no man strive. You know, right now, we can't, in some places, say anything against those with AIDS, the homosexuals, and others that are doing evil. Why? Because it is against their rights. That's their idea that they have a right to be the way they do, to do the evil that they do. But we can't strive against them. Verse 5 says, therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night. And I will destroy thy mother. Here I believe the word mother is referring to Israel and what she has taught them, or what they should have learned, or maybe even referring to the ministry, those that have charge over you. Because in verse 6 it says, my people are destroyed, and he's saying my people now, are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of God. I will also forget thy children. Lack of knowledge, lack of understanding of what we have been given in these scriptures. Lack of instruction from the ministry, from those who know. You know, in fact, the world won't even listen to truth anymore. And this is even true of people in the church. We are getting farther and farther away from listening to the truth and accepting it. Oh, we still do better than the world, but the world is influencing us away from this light that we just sang about. Let me give you an example. I was talking to someone a while back that had had a major heart attack a few years ago, and I've studied on nutrition, and I think I know some of the things that can help people with their problems of health. So I was about to cite some statistics, some examples, some studies that prove the benefit of certain herbs and nutritional products. Then he informed me that he didn't even follow the diet that the doctors gave him. Well, if he's not even going to do that, how would he even become close to accepting further knowledge? You know, we're like this pertaining to spiritual things. We won't even follow the milk of the gospel that was mentioned in the Sunday school. And if we won't do that, how can we hope to follow the meat? How do we get knowledge? Romans 10:14. Seems like somebody read this one already today. It says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" You know, the priesthood are given. They're supposed to teach the knowledge of how to obtain this kingdom of God that we are trying to obtain. On page 40 of the Book of Commandments, we are told of the duties of the priesthood. These include things that, you know, we're not doing to a great degree, like visit homes, see that there's no iniquity, see that the members meet together oft, see that the members do their duties. And then we're told on page 41 of the Book of Commandments, I'm going to read that, that the members also have some duties that, and here they're given in here, some of them. The duty of the members after they are received by baptism. This is verse 45 on 41, page 41. Verse 46 says, "The elders or priests are to have a sufficient time to expound all things concerning the church of Christ to their understanding previous to their partaking of the sacrament and being confirmed by the laying on of hands of the elders, so that all things may be done in order. And the members shall manifest before the church and also before the elders by a godly walk and conversation that they are worthy of it, that there may be works of faith agreeable to the Holy Scripture." Works of faith agreeable to what's written in these Holy Scriptures. "Walking in holiness before the Lord. Every member of this church having children is to bring them to the elders before the church, who are to lay their hands upon them in the name of the Lord, and bless them in the name of Christ," and so on. You know, I want to cite an example of a person. I don't think we do this, but Brother Zabriskie, before he was baptized, before he accepted the church, had some, at least one great difference in belief that was a problem and could be a problem if it were to be brought into the church. At least it had been here to some degree before, but he listened. And he learned from instruction. And I think all that know him know that he is a dedicated member now of the Church of Christ and doing a great work for the church. Too often people come in with their own ideas, and we don't take the time, or maybe have a little fear that we'll drive them away if we try to expound the truth that the church has taught these many years. You know, there's one said, one of these things in here, it says to see that they meet together oft. You know, there's been people that have been baptized who live right in the area. They haven't set foot in the church since they were baptized. Do we just leave them alone? We need to teach them that they should attend church, if at all possible. Maybe there's some reason there, and I don't know. But we should find out. Because they do need that to receive that instruction. And they should know upon baptism that they will be visited and they will be instructed by the ministry, especially if they don't attend. And I believe this is our duty. If they're really ready for baptism, they will accept these things. They will accept the and know that they do need this. I want to read one more thing in the Book of Commandments. The first chapter. Starting with the first verse, not the preface there, but just the first verse. Hearken, O ye people of my church. This is instruction to us. Saith the voice of him who dwells on high and whose eyes are upon all men. Yea, verily I say, hearken, ye people from afar, and ye that are upon the islands of the sea, listen together. For verily the voice of the Lord is unto all men, and there is none to escape, and there is no eye that shall not see, nor ear that shall not hear, neither heart that shall not be penetrated. It hasn't happened yet. It will. And the rebellious, pray that it's not any of us, shall be pierced with much sorrow. For their iniquities shall be spoken upon the housetops, and their secret acts shall be revealed, and the voice of warning shall be unto all people by the mouths of my disciples, whom I have chosen in these last days, and they shall go forth, and none shall stay them, for I, the Lord, have commanded them. Behold, this is mine authority, and the authority of my servants, and my preface unto the book of my commandments, which I have given them to publish unto you, O inhabitants of the earth. Wherefore, fear and tremble, O ye people, for what I, the Lord, have decreed in them shall be fulfilled. And verily I say unto you that they who go forth, bearing these tidings unto the inhabitants of the earth, to them is power given to seal both on heaven and in earth the unbelieving and rebellious, yea, verily, to seal them up unto the day when the wrath of God shall be poured out upon the wicked without measure, unto the day when the Lord shall come to recompense unto every man according to his work, and to measure to every man according to the measure which he has measured in his fellow man. Wherefore, the voice of the Lord is unto the ends of the earth, that all that will hear may hear. Prepare ye for that which is to come. For the Lord is nigh, and the anger of the Lord is kindled, and his sword is bathed in heaven. And it shall fall upon the inhabitants of the earth, and the arm of the Lord shall be revealed. And the day cometh that they who will not hear the voice of the Lord, neither the voice of his servants, who are speaking his word, neither give heed to the words of the prophets and apostles, shall be cut off from among the people. For they have strayed from mine ordinances and have broken my everlasting covenant. They seek not the Lord to establish his righteousness, but every man walketh in his own way and after the image of his own God, whose image is in the likeness of the world and whose substance is that of an idol. which waxeth old and shall perish in Babylon, even Babylon the great, which shall fall. I believe that God has given us apostles, especially, to be special witnesses, and has told us that they should be our leaders. God has chosen them to do this, and still we don't, because each one has his own ideas and wants to be the leader. Page 34, or Matthew 23, rather. And verse 23 through 26 says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." See, they had their own way. They had their own ideas. They were not going to listen to the truth. "For you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Ye ought to have done, these ought ye have done, and not to leave the others undone. Ye blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye have made clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of exhaustion and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also." We get tied up with cares and causes and neglect the weightier matters of the law. We do strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. How? We let some doctrines be over important. Maybe that's not the best English, but I think you know what I mean. We let them be over important in the way that we interpret them. Our interpretations, the letter of the law, which the Pharisees and Sadducees followed, become so important that it distracts us from the purpose of that doctrine. Let me give you an example. Maybe we don't eat a particular thing because we think it's bad for us. For instance, some people may not eat meat or a certain kind of meat. But we're told in Timothy about eating meat. If you want to look up that reference, 1 Timothy 4, 3 through 5, I'm not going to read it right now. Then in Acts, chapter 10, verses 10 through 15, it talks about the dream that, who was it, Peter had, that told him that he was to eat, and he claimed that he had never eaten any unclean thing. But it says there, I do want to read that one verse. I think it's Acts 10, 15, if I remember. If I got it. Him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." And he was told to eat. He was told to eat. You know, whatever it is that we don't eat, we may be so absolute on that that it becomes our religion. You know, it's the important thing. We let more important things go. For instance, the wine question is a very absolute issue in a lot of minds. And we don't do some of the necessities of living the right life. Let me give you another example, how we get tied up in causes and neglect the weightier matters of the law. On the question of abortion, I'd like to say a few words here. And I'd like to say that I do not believe that picketing of abortion clinics and this type of cause is what we should be actively engaged in. I do not believe that. I think it's just a wrong, trying to right a wrong, and I don't believe that we can ever do that. You know, if we get caught up in something like that, consider what happened here a while back. This, I guess he was a priest who was against abortion because it was killing. So what did he do? He killed a doctor that did these abortions. It doesn't make sense to take a life when you're trying to do something that would save a life. No, I don't believe that we should be caught up in that, or we're doing it the wrong way. And you may not agree with what I'm about to say, but at least give me a chance to explain it. God has given us our free will agency. We can make a choice to follow or not to follow God's laws. With that in mind, I want to say this. I believe that a woman has her own free will agency to make a choice whether or not to have an abortion. And I think that's true of the doctors and all others who have a part in that abortion. You know, if we do something, let me go on and explain now. If we do something that the law of the land forbids, then there are penalties if we get caught. In the case of abortion, however, the law of the land now allows it. So instead of going out and picketing, what we need to do is educate those people involved, the woman, the doctors, the advisors, that they are breaking God's law. And they have the free will agency to do that. But they are breaking God's law. And you know, there's no way that anyone breaking God's law will not get caught. And they will experience those penalties involved. So what we need to do is help them to understand that God's laws are being broken, and if they still go through with the deed, then at least the blood is off our heads. Maybe a better title to my sermon would be "Fools Rush In Where Angels Fear to Tread," especially when it comes to this next part, because I'm going to talk about the sacrament. Because I believe that that is one thing, one of those things that's keeping us from the full blessings that God has in store for us. There are two sides to this issue. I'm not going to go to the scriptures to try to prove one side or the other. to say whether it should be fermented or unfermented. Because I think that both sides can make a point and prove their point in here. You may have noticed I didn't say wine. In my own mind, I can't believe that wine is anything but fermented. And I guess my reasoning is that that's what I was taught in the science classes I took in college. Oh, I know that some dictionaries say that it's both. But perhaps that came from the problem that some ministry in the past had that did not want to serve the fermented juice of the grape. So they started using grape juice and calling it wine. So then in the dictionary came the use. I'm not sure that's why it is. Maybe it is both, but like I say, in my thinking, it's not. Many have decided that only wine, fermented that is, should be used. Then there are others who believe that no alcohol should be brought into our bodies, and if it is brought into our bodies, they think they will be defiled by it. But do you know that alcohol is produced right inside our bodies? If we eat a high-protein food like meat, along with a high-sugar food like fruit, it will be produced there. Should we not eat those foods either? But then on the other side, for those of you that think it should be wine, the high courts of our land have ruled that if something that is illegal is given to someone, even in a religious setting, then the laws are being broken. It is illegal to serve wine to minors. Are we breaking the law when we serve wine? I'm just bringing some things out. I want us to consider these things. And I want to think about these. We need unity. And we don't have it. So which side has the better argument? I think those that say that they cannot take wine into their bodies, they ferment it into their bodies because it will defile them, and it is a sin to do so. It is in my mind that they have the better argument. The ones that believe fermented should be used have no trouble going out and drinking grape juice anytime. So it is my feeling that they do not have as good an argument. But I want to read something. And you probably know who I'm going to read. It's on page 47 in here. Verse 2 of chapter 28. For behold, I say unto you, it mattereth not what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink. But it doesn't stop there. When ye partake of the sacrament, if it so be that ye do it with an eye single to my glory. We're not doing that. This should be our guide. So as far as I'm concerned, it shouldn't matter. But you know, even to me it does. Because I'm thinking, oh, it's wine. Is so-and-so going to partake of it? Or it's grape juice. Somebody's going to be upset. It affects all of us. It should be that whatever is served, we should be doing it with an eye single to His glory. But since we have this division, the problem, I believe the only possible choice is the grape juice. Remember, we're told it mattereth not. And we all, in this division, are missing the most important point of what the sacrament really is for. Our differences are keeping us from the real blessings of God. I'm making a call and making a plea with those who believe it to be wine, to believe it to be fermented, that we make a sacrifice. And since it mattereth not, that we go to the grape juice. If we could just do that. I don't think there's any way we could possibly go to the other. But I think if we could just do that, that we could come to a unity. And I think that we could better serve God. The weightier matters are, what did it say in there, in Matthew? The 23rd chapter. In verse 23 of chapter 23, ye pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law: judgment, mercy, faith. Add a couple more. Love, charity, unity, living our lives as we should live them. It says, these ought ye to have done, and not leave the others undone. So let's stop straining at a gnat and swallowing the camel. Let's get on with the work. We don't have much time. Let us pray that we can resolve this problem and get on and get prepared for that time, which will soon come. I thank you. Thank you.